What do you mean by free agency was new?
Well, they used to not have free agency. There was no free agency.
So what did you do?
Basically, when you were drafted by a team, you were on that team until they traded your or cut you.
How did like contract negotiations work?
I got no idea. They weren't as big as they are now.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
I want to welcome back all of our friends, family, and foes to the Fox Den Sports Podcast, episode number 92, with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett. I'm Todd Fox, and together we are the Fox Den Sports Podcast. All right, episode 92. Who do you got? Who's your player?
Michael Strahan.
Okay.
Probably, honestly, the only one I recognize, but a dominant player.
Okay. Interesting.
92 is a pretty good number, but I'll go Haloti Ngata, defensive tackle, Baltimore Ravens, five-time Pro Bowl, two-time first-team All-Pro. He was a big boy. And he was the one, he was on the Super Bowl winning team with Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Joe Flacco.
Definitely. To be honest with you, I mean, Reggie White, most dominant defensive end probably in football, definitely during his era. Could be debatable, maybe with some, you know, players since then or even before. Reggie White. Started off with Philadelphia, and then I remember when he went to Green Bay, and I was like, it was free, because free agency was new. And I don't know how long it had been around when he went to Green Bay, but I was like, Green Bay? What's wrong with that guy? Because Green Bay stunk for years. And then they were he said he liked the organization, the future of the franchise, all the weapons they were going to be bringing around, and you know Favre was there and all that. But that was back when Favre was a lot of people, including myself, called him Brett Favre because we didn't, you know. But that's kind of how it was. But Reggie White was dominant. And that guy was incredible. He passed away from a heart attack as well. Golly, we were living in UConn when that happened, maybe around 2005. I think is my guess. Is that time frame, but he was dominant, incredible player. And I hate the fact that he passed. He didn't make the Hall of Fame, but I know he passed away before he made the Hall of Fame. Incredible player, Reggie White.
What do you mean by free agency was new?
Well, they used to not have free agency. There was no free agency.
So what did you do?
Basically, when you were drafted by a team, you were on that team until they traded your or cut you.
How did like contract negotiations work?
I got no idea. They weren't as big as they are now. I mean, it was just kind of like Dallas. I'm telling you, there's Aaron Rodgers. Looks like he's walking into the.
He's got locker. His pads off.
Yeah. Back then, Dallas players. Now this is the 70s version of the Cowboys. They didn't pay those guys squat, and they didn't know. Nobody knew any better, and they would go to Pro Bowls and then come back to the team and go, yeah, well. These guys are getting paid this amount, and then they would text Strahan would be like, oh, they're just lying to you. They're not really making that kind of money. And so it was ridiculous how much, unfortunately, these guys didn't get paid. That's why, I mean, here's the thing. I'm all for players getting paid. I totally am. I think it's great. I just wish there was some sort of a cap within the team, meaning you could only get a certain percentage for each. Like if you're the top player, you get a certain percentage regardless, and then kind of go down. I've actually done the math on it myself, and it could actually work if they would do that. Like the top player, and then, you know, second place player gets a certain amount. And then there's a handful of guys at the end, 10 or 12 players that all basically kind of get the same, just the way it was. I can't remember. Don't quote me on this. Of course it is on a podcast, and it'll be played millions of times throughout the years, but ever. I want to say Barry Sanders was one of those guys. It was one of the original guys that kind of challenged this. And I don't know if it was in the courts, if he was going to sue or whatever, but that's how it came about. And I just remember Keith Jackson played, you know, he used to play for Oklahoma. He played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he goes to Miami, and they have him on a Monday night game. They were talking to Randall Cunningham, and then all of a sudden, boop, popped in Keith Jackson, you know, Randall's like, come on, man, like looking at him like, dude, you just left, man. But it was just it's crazy. Crazy was when it was brand new.
I'd like to see a documentary on the beginning of free agency, because I guess I just assumed it always been around, but guys just used to be more loyal. Like, I just never thought of it. So did you know that, Gary?
Yeah.
You just never heard of it.
Gary, like, no. What are you talking about?
You've said so many times, like, that's why some teams were just so good for so long, because if you drafted a good player,
you're right. Yeah.
To be on your team for the next decade.
That's why I thought that was because of loyalty.
Pittsburgh dominated. I mean, I'm telling you, free agency wouldn't have happened when it did. Because, okay, it was around 94, right, time frame, because Jimmy Johnson did not have to deal with it when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. Switzer comes in and has to, I think that may have been the first year of it. Jimmy Johnson, if they didn't have free agency and he would have stuck around, that team would have had a chance to win 3, 4, 5 Super Bowls. You know, not guaranteeing it, but that guy's team, his defensive line, he just kept rotating in, and there were just so many just incredible players. Dude, he knew talent. People ripped on him after the fact. I shouldn't say people ripped on him like a whole lot, but some people said some bad things about him. He went to Miami. He couldn't win with free agency when one as good of a coach and all this kind of stuff. I get it. The thing is, though, it did change the NFL. It's probably better. It's probably better that it did happen. It stinks whenever you have a really good player and they may leave. But that's just part of it. But free agency, yeah, I agree with you. A documentary, there may be one somewhere, but yeah, that would be fantastic to see. So as we're recording this podcast, I know there's about 8 minutes left in the first half of the Jets and Buffalo Bills game, and Aaron Rodgers, we're recording another podcast earlier, and he got hurt. And I don't know what's going on. Haven't heard anything. We just saw him a few minutes ago without his shoulder pads going into the locker room. I hope he's going to be okay where he can still play this time of the year. Maybe he misses a couple weeks. That's fine. But I hope he's okay, because that'll be just so disheartening for him, the Jets franchise, the team, the fans, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not a big Jets fan. Your Uncle Glenn is a big Jets fan. But, man, hope it doesn't happen. What were your guys' initial thoughts? Let's talk about NFL. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, obviously, first, since two of the three of us are big Dallas fans. Dallas put a whooping on the Giants last night, 40-0. What were your initial thoughts of that game?
That was probably one of the most dominant games, not even just for the Cowboys, but an NFL game I've ever seen. Like, from start to finish, and by start, I mean 2 minutes into the game, it was over. Like, you could just immediately tell after the block, because Giants, again, first 2-3 minutes, they drove down there, and you're like, dang, they're moving right along. That blocked punt just absolutely killed them. Because then next drive, within 2 to 3 plays, I think it was on third down, so it would have been, third play of the drive, Saquon gets drilled, and we run that back. And our offense doesn't even see the ball, and it's, 13-0, because he missed the PAT. Like, jeez, that was insane. So I will say, Dak, not the greatest statistical game. I know we've talked about it. He had a lot. I'd love to see how many drops we had as a team.
I agree.
That was probably the most drops I've ever seen also from an NFL team. So I know pretty much year in, year out, we're always on the top of that list, which is just annoying. But, offense looked okay. We ran the ball pretty well. But I think we still were also a little conservative, especially with just how quickly the lead with how our defense was playing. Like, our defense might have done or might be the best in the NFL, like top to bottom. We have arguably the best secondary in the NFL, arguably the best pass rush in the NFL, and we got pretty solid linebackers too. So
I knew they were going to be top three, but what we saw, I think, We need to see it again. Well, it doesn't have to be to that extent, but I think the case is very strong for them being the best in the league. Like, if Dak plays well and doesn't make mistakes, I think that defense can lead to a Super Bowl victory. Like, that's how good that defense looks. And I think the three best teams in the NFL are on the NFC now.
Really?
I think because they're like, look at their offenses and then look at their defenses. And you know the three I'm talking about without even saying them.
Yeah. Dallas, San Francisco, and Philadelphia.
Like, they have a well-rounded offense. Yeah. I'm not saying they're all three of the best offenses in the NFL, but they have a very well-rounded offense and insane defense. Like, it's, yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, go ahead, Garrett.
I was just going to say, I'll say real quick, like, I know I would agree. I think a lot of people are getting a little overreaction of the Philly game. You gave Bill Belichick a whole summer to sit there and prep for that game.
Sure.
So you think that Philly just going to come in there and whoop New England week one when, like I said, you give Bill Belichick that much time to sit there and analyze and dissect that offense that hasn't changed a whole lot since last year? I mean, I know they got the new coordinator, but like.
But here's the thing. People are overreacting. Look what happened to the two best quarterbacks in the league week one.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But no, you're right.
Nobody's ever at their best football week one.
That's
great news for Dallas.
Yeah,
sure.
True. I do think Detroit's better than New England, but on Cincy's side, I still don't think Cleveland's that good.
No, so like Joe Burrow missed the preseason, so there's that. But like
100%.
But and Bengals always start off. They're 1-4 in the last 5 years on opening week. They always start off slow. Last year, everybody was like, "Oh, was last year a fluke?" No, they still made it to the AFC Championship. They always start off slow, but like Philadelphia, yes, they're playing against one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Sure.
They won the game. That's all that they ended up winning. That's all that matters. They looked good. There are things they can improve on, but nobody's playing their best football week one in the NFL.
No, and you just hit it the nail on the head. Burrow, the last 2 years, he hasn't even finished preseason, right? He missed a whole month this season. Here's the thing. This was honestly, it was almost like a preseason game. And I mean, obviously there's 17 game season. I get all that, but there's timing. You saw timing off with Kansas City the other night, even though I know Kelsey was out, there was timing off with a lot of guys because these guys don't play a whole lot. Once you start seeing here in the next couple of weeks, it's amazing. Joe Burrow's now like, what is it? 1-5 against the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how they match up very well against him for some odd reason. I think it's a defensive front with Myles Garrett for sure. But bottom line is these guys are going to have a lot more time to work out some of these kinks. Usually you see a high scoring, I shouldn't say usually, but it seems like in the years past, you've seen high scoring games. This one, there was a lot of timing
in week
issues
one,
off
yeah.
In week one. Not only Bill Belichick got to, game plan for a long time, they've got a brand new offensive coordinator in Philadelphia as well. So here's the thing. Kansas City is going to be fine. Philadelphia is going to be fine. I know Philadelphia won. I think Cincinnati is going to be fine. It's going to take a little bit. Obviously, you don't want to get way too far behind, but they're going to be fine. The Jets, I just saw that he was ruled out for the rest of the game. X-rays came back negative on Aaron Rodgers, so that's a good thing. Dallas has him next week in Dallas. Hey, I'm not opposed to him relaxing for one more week and taking it easy and not playing, and we go against Zach Wilson.
If I was the Jets and I watched what Dallas just did to the Giants, I'd probably go ahead and rest him in case.
Right, because their offensive line isn't that great either. You're exactly right.
Well, that's what happened. Every time I looked up, granted, he was in there for four plays. He's out there running around.
No, you're right.
Also, like, even if Jets' offensive line was good, New York Giants' offensive line is supposed to be really good. So let's not. Wow. They have two top five picked tackles within the last 5 years starting, who are both solid. And then inside, they have a guy they traded, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a couple years ago, a Cleveland guard. They have a really good offensive line, but
yeah,
I mean, we manhandled them.
Dude.
We manhandled.
You sit there. These guys are they're more healthy now than they will be any part of the season. You just got to keep them healthy. I'm telling you right here now, that defensive front putting that kind of pressure, and then you've got Diggs and you've got it was a Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore.
Are you kidding me? Then you got Micah. Late Van Der Esch. He's no pushover. He's had some injury history, but whenever he does play, he does pretty good.
But you got to keep in mind, we had a defensive tackle with two sacks, a defensive end not named Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence with two sacks. Micah had one. You could almost say he had two because of that fumble from Daniel Jones. And then Parsons was there to tag him down. They counted that as a fumble and I think maybe a tackle for loss, which is annoying. But no, that defensive line it's so exciting. So excited. I didn't even hear anything about Mozzie Smith. I'm not going to lie.
No, you're right. I didn't.
But
I didn't either.
I personally don't have a lot of high hopes from him anyways. But
I do.
We'll see.
Here's the thing. I was looking for it just now, and I thought I saved the picture. All the things that Jerry and Stephen Jones have done this offseason. Here's the thing. I'm not the biggest fan of Jerry. I'm just not. But to pan the guard, right guard?
Zach Martin.
Zach Martin, paying him. They made sure they went out and got Stephon Gilmore. They made there was all these different things that they were connecting, paying Pollard. All the different moves that they've made this offseason. And it's one game. I don't want to sit there and drink the Kool-Aid and be all excited and then all of a sudden, you know, be hacked off here midseason. Kellen said it best, like, they've got the defense. And I'm telling you, if Dak – here's – I don't know about you guys. I thought Dak looked uncomfortable last night. I didn't think he seemed himself. I know it's still a different offense, and he hasn't had – he didn't play a whole lot during the preseason either, so McCarthy's got a little bit different of an offense. He didn't seem very comfortable to me. I do think he'll get more comfortable throughout the year. But to your point again, Garrett, just a minute ago, there was too many drop passes. I'm not going to act like it was all on him because it wasn't. They just – it's almost like – they knew, and I hate to say that, but they knew that they were going to win the game at some point because they were blowing them out, and they just kind of, I don't want to say coasted, but if it was a tighter game, I think you would have saw a lot different Dak Prescott last night.
Before you said that, I was going to say the same thing. I think he, in his mind, at the middle of the play, sees the scoreboard, and it's a blowout, and he's like, well, like, our defense is doing really good. I don't want to put them in a bad position. Like, they get this blowout, and also, you know, if I throw a pick and they score really quick off of it, momentum switches in an instant, and the next thing we know, it could be a game.
You're right. Yeah,
I think
right.
And he was mentally, and I don't blame him. I think mentally he was just kind of like in the middle of the play, even whenever the play call wasn't calling for it, very, very conservative.
Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact, but it could be a similar case like we were talking about OU last episode of – they don't put all their moves into one game. You don't see that as often in the NFL, but when you look at the scoreboard and your defense is doing what they're doing to the team, why would you do every possible thing in this game?
No, you're right.
Like, don't get overly aggressive and show all your special stuff. Save that for a game when your defense needs a little more help, maybe.
Yeah, you go into a game with multiple different game plans. Like, hey, if this happens, we're going to switch to this, and so on and so forth. And so he's probably mentally preparing himself for that. The second it gets to the point where we're, again, blowing them out and they're like, okay, we didn't game plan for this.
Yeah.
They switched it to just, hey, we're draining the clock, keeping everyone safe. And not having any kind of costly turnovers. And that's
Micah Parsons. Did he play much at the second half?
I if he did, I didn't hear his name. So I thought
they pulled him like sometime in the third quarter and he didn't play anymore, which you never see that. Very
rare
to see that. Not in the NFL. They were trying to hang half a hundred.
He probably will be if he plays the level he was playing at.
Oh, he was.
I mean, that, and you take out, again, Bosa for a couple games. But, yeah, I would take Parsons over Bosa still anyways. But you're right. You could tell something about last night. He's three times better than he was last year. And last year, again, second in defensive player of the year, arguably best defensive player.
No, I agree 100%. 100%. It was a fantastic game. I will tell you, 1992, 31 years ago, Dallas wins they won a Monday night game, the very first game against the Washington, the former Redskins. Redskins were coming off the winning the championship the year before. Charles Haley's first game, Dallas goes in, wins. Okay, the very next week they go into New York. First touchdown is a block punt. All right, they were all over the place. Dallas wins 35-0. Just saying.
Was that the former? Because I saw that this is now the biggest shutout in Dallas has ever had. Was that the former one? Maybe.
And you know what? Now that I say that, they may not have won 35-0. I think they had a lead, and the Giants may have came back. I know Barry Switzer on a Monday night game with they did win 35 or 38-0 on Switzer's, one of his I think it was their second year of Switzer, because the first year they lost in the championship game to the 49ers, and the next year opened up Monday Night Football in New York. Emmitt Smith runs wild. But anyway, yeah, but everything's kind of lining up, man. We'll see. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid.
I want to know from you guys, because you guys are the Dallas fans, if this defense can play, obviously you're not expecting shutouts every week, it's the sure. NFL, but sure. If this defense plays at a top-tier level like this, what does Dallas have to do to not be a disappointing year to you guys? I mean, in my mind, I look at that defense and I think Super Bowl or bust.
NFC championship.
I agree. Super Bowl or bust. If you have the number one defense in the NFL, you have to have that expectation.
Because, like, I don't want them to waste this opportunity.
They may not.
Because
man.
For me, I look at Seattle's team. What, 8-9 years ago, whatever now? Like
Legion of Boom?
Yeah. I think this defense could be way better than that. And I think Dak Prescott's 10 times better a quarterback than Russell Wilson ever was. So, I mean,
I think this defense is better than that. I think that defense, I feel like that defense was carried by two players. They had a great defense all around, but I think Sherman and Earl Thomas.
And Wagner.
Like,
Bobby Wagner was very
okay.
Good.
Yeah,
they were.
Three. But like,
I feel like forget about him just because he was the linebacker and not with the three.
I just feel like the defense led by Parsons, when you go by the whole defense, I would choose this defense over that. So
keep
it's
them
like,
healthy.
To me, I think this team has to win a Super Bowl, or at least get to a Super Bowl. But I would like to
keep them healthy.
If this defense stays at this level, stays healthy, I think this team should win the Super Bowl. And if they don't, I think it's wasted potential.
Yeah.
Big thing too is if say we do have an injury and it's not a serious one, like it looks like we have the depth to cover that position for a couple weeks. Like, you know what I mean? Like you could sit there and be like, maybe not Parsons because he's pretty key. Say like a Dorrance Armstrong or DeMarcus Lawrence has a, you know, their knees inflamed or something.
And unfortunately,
like,
it's gonna happen. Hope it doesn't. Dak Prescott. You know, I bust the chops a lot, but I'm telling you, if he can just manage the game and not give it away,
which he did.
Tony Pollard looked really good. I mean, as the feature back, over 5 yards per carry, I think right at 5 yards per carry. They've got Deuce Vaughn. I mean, he got hammered. It seemed like every time he was running the ball, but I think he's still going to be a good little back for the Cowboys for sure. Got to catch the balls. The tight end was it Ferguson or the other kid that drops a couple of them.
Ferguson.
Dropped, yeah, he
and
dropped.
Schumacher dropped one too.
Yeah, they
and
dropped.
So did something. We have a third one.
Yeah,
can't remember his name. He's the one who dropped it in the end zone. But
I just know. You know, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Gallup. Brandon Cooks looked pretty good for the Cowboys, I thought so for sure. And what's the guy's name? Turpin, who they put him back in a running back.
Yeah, Turpin. He also had a drop too
for sure.
That could, but he ended up scoring a couple plays later. But
what game surprised you the most in the NFL this past weekend? Good. I mean, like what game was it, would you say that kind of surprised you the most?
I feel like what surprised me the most was the score of the Browns and Cincinnati game. I can't say I'm surprised they lost.
Yeah.
If I had to bet money, I'd still bet on Cincinnati to win.
Yeah, me too.
But I wouldn't bet money on that game because of that. Like, I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised at the level that they, like, I just can't believe they didn't do anything on offense. So I think that's what, there was a lot of shocks this week. I will say I predicted Detroit, especially when Kelsey went out. I especially predicted Detroit, but I thought with the way the outside drama for Kansas City, the fire that was underneath Detroit, I saw that game going that way.
Yeah.
But Cincinnati losing as badly as they did was probably the biggest shock for me.
Sure. Garrett?
Probably say the Buccaneers over Minnesota. I would say before the season, I thought Tampa Bay would be better than what everyone expected, and I thought Minnesota was going to be worse than everyone expected. I just didn't expect it to be necessarily week one or a matchup, you know. But Baker had a really good game.
It was an exciting game.
Yeah. I didn't get to watch
Baker with
a lot,
stiff arm.
But
they're not going to let that happen very often because they're going to try to get that number one pick.
I don't know.
I hope not.
Like OU Baker there for a second.
I hope
Baker. Right after he did it, he gets in the guy's face and said, "Put on some weight, little boy."
Did he really?
Yeah, he was mic'd up.
Wow.
And then goes on to lead the game-winning drive. Like,
wow. I'll tell you the game that surprised me the most was 49ers trouncing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. I expected Pittsburgh to have a much better game. I thought, I'll be honest with you, man. Brock Purdy, I don't know. It's only one game, but we'll see. But with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, pretty good, man. I didn't expect Pittsburgh to win. I expected it to be much closer, is what I'm basically trying to say, I guess. So 30-7 was a trouncing, and they put it to them and in their own home field, because Pittsburgh does not lose like that very often, and certainly not in Pittsburgh.
I don't think I've been saying this. I don't think Steelers are going to be anything this year anyway, so I can't say I was necessarily surprised by that.
Pickett won't be a starting quarterback by next year anyways.
You don't think so?
Heck no. They're going to lose enough games that they're going to get one of the good quarterbacks and he's going to get replaced.
I don't know. Tomlin coach teams.
What was hilarious was Patrick Peterson was talking about how he was going to be able to predict everything Purdy did and all this, and like he was really easy to read.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said somebody asked how he was going to do it, and then he said, when I get my pick Sunday, we'll talk about it. And all Brock Purdy had to say after the game was, that second touchdown, wasn't that on Patrick Peterson?
Yeah, you could tell
there's a difference. Like last year, he's like, I'm the last pick at the draft. I shouldn't be here.
Now he's like,
I led a team pretty deep into the playoffs. I'm carrying my team.
Confidence.
Yeah, I'm
confidence.
Like,
he's got confidence, and he's got Kyle Shanahan, and both of those combined.
I'm over the whole Kyle Shanahan stuff. That dude's ruined so many quarterbacks' careers. It's not even fun.
I don't think he's as smart as what everybody says.
All
he does is run every single player down the middle until they get hurt.
He's smart.
Whether it's running back, quarterback, receiver.
Now he's made some bonehead choices. But he's still he's a winner.
I can't remember who it was. There was somebody he wanted to draft instead of Trey Lance, and I can't remember who it was.
No, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
I do think he's a little overrated now as a coach.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I cannot remember off the who that was.
I don't know. Just go back a couple episodes, everybody.
Yeah. I'll look it up. Garrett, what were we going to say?
I'm trying to find the tweet because it's basically saying how John Lynch and him have not done a whole lot.
I think I'm telling you right here now, I think it's more John Lynch than it is. And don't get me wrong, I think I like John Lynch, but I think it's more him than it is Shanahan.
I will say I was pleasantly surprised.
He wanted to pick Mac Jones.
Oh, okay. Huh. It's not that much better.
Go ahead.
It's not that much better.
It'd be better with Shanahan.
I was pleasantly surprised by the Colts game.
Anthony Richardson didn't look bad though.
He looked pretty good. We came pretty close to beating Trevor Lawrence and the best team Trevor Lawrence has ever had.
Yeah.
Without Jonathan Taylor. I will say I had to run a couple errands after church. And I've kept looking at my phone and I was like, we're winning. I was like, we got to get home. We might win this game. Finally get home, turn on the game right as Jacksonville scores. I was like, okay. Anthony Richardson throws a pick. Okay. Jacksonville scores. So within 2 minutes of me getting home, we went from being up by 4 to down by 10. It's a little upset by that. But Anthony Richardson, he made a poor choice with that pick. I mean, it's his first NFL game. I would have loved to see him have a nice little drive there. He needs to learn to slide a little bit. I know he's a big boy. He needs to be careful taking those hits. The end of the game, I wasn't too pleased about. It's fourth down. We're down by 10. No matter what we do, we got to kick an onside kick. Let's just go ahead and kick the field goal. Be down by 7.
Yeah.
Go for the onside kick. I don't really love just risking it all on that play. It's not even like we did a trick play, like a fake field goal.
Sure.
Just go out there with Gardner Minshew and try to do – like, I wasn't too pleased by that decision. Not that it really matters. A loss is a loss. It would have looked really cool for Anthony Richardson to only lose by 7 rather than 10 to Trevor Lawrence.
No, I get it.
But I am excited to see the future with him, see where it takes us. I'd give anything to grab Marvin Harrison Jr. next year. but I think he's got potential, and sure. I was enjoying that game for sure.
Really quick, back to the Kyle Shanahan real quick. Got RG3 hurt,
yeah.
Drafted Cousins, passed on Watson and Mahomes, drafted CJ Beathard, started Brian Hoyer, traded for Garoppolo, drafted Trey Lance, used him like a running back and got him injured, lucked out on Purdy. Purdy's QB1 after 3 games, and he chokes big games.
We'll see. I mean, it's fair. I mean, I can't argue that. I just think he's a decent offensive coordinator.
What do you mean we'll see? That's like the whole last decade.
What are you talking about? But he went to the Super Bowl with Atlanta as offensive coordinator. He's gone to the Super Bowl I can't argue that, but I mean,
choked again. San Fran had a big good lead too. Choked that one.
Yeah, so we'll see. He won with Jimmy Garoppolo. I still think he's a pretty decent coach. I really do.
I think he's good. I just think he gets a little overrated at times.
Kellen, how's Atlanta folks feeling right now with the 1-0 Atlanta Falcons? Do you have much? Do they even talk about it really, or is it more Braves and Georgia?
I mean, Braves is all the talk right now because they're number one. Yeah. But people are excited. I mean, everybody's loving Bijan Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
He was looking good. I'm a little disappointed I didn't just try to grab him in one of the leagues because he's looking good.
He was going to be my number one pick in the Dynasty League, but Diego took it for me.
Let's not get overly excited since that was the Carolina Panthers. So,
yeah, but still, like I really thought Panthers might win that game just because of Atlanta. But I kind of wish I would have gone to that game, honestly. What if Bryce Young turned into somebody and I could say I watched his first game? Probably not. But I mean,
You never know.
I don't know. He looked okay for like all things considered, no picks. But no, people are excited. I think it looks like it could be up. I mean, if that team somehow messed around and ended up with Caleb Williams, I think that team could be insane in the future.
So tell me this: this past week, we've got a few minutes left. What team or player stock went up this past week, and what team or player stock went down this past week?
I think Giants stock went down.
Yeah,
because I know this. I know the defense they played against, but they didn't look good at all.
Yeah,
and everybody was saying like, I still thought they'd be third in the division, but I thought they'd be put up a fight against Dallas. And
sure.
Granted, it's week one. We haven't seen them play Philadelphia, but like they just looked like they had no clue what was going on.
Stock
so
I'd now.
Say their stock went down.
Garrett, anybody stock down?
Well, I was on in my head, I'm thinking stock up, so I'll go stock down in a second. But stock up to Tagovailoa.
Oh, fantastic game.
I don't
I've been saying
so he's kind of in the same boat real quick as Purdy. Like,
yeah,
he all of a sudden's got all this confidence in his press conferences attacking people, and you're like, where did this come from?
Because I've been
last
saying
last year you were taking what was given to you.
Oh, you're right. Like, you're right.
No, I've been saying I don't think he's the best in the league, but I think he has the weapons to look like the best in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's
coach,
I don't think he's top five, but I think stats wise, if he stays healthy, he'll look top three.
Mike McDaniel's a good coach as well, I think. I really
he is. So no, stock, yeah, I agree with that.
Stock down for me, Chicago Bears. I think they had a home game. Justin Fields, they had it all up for, you know, playing the Packers with a brand new quarterback, all that. They laid an egg, and they didn't look good either.
I will say another stock down potentially. New York Jets. We'll watch the news in the morning.
Yeah,
but
I understand, but we'll see.
But that's I hope he's good. But
so stock, Kellen, you got to stock up. I got to stock up, and Gannon Garrett's got to stock down. Let's hear it.
I don't know.
I'll go my stock down while you're thinking about
it. Let's hear it.
Unless you got it. But
no, I mean I got a couple I'm mulling over.
I'll go, and nothing, you know, makes me happier to say this. Patrick Mahomes, stock down. I love it because, oh, don't even. Everyone, you know.
Everybody said he didn't need weapons.
Everyone, all Kansas City fans, he doesn't need weapons. He doesn't need a good head coach. The Mahomes haters, I guess you could call it.
He doesn't play enough in preseason.
Listen.
Okay.
You know,
go ahead.
Listen.
Mahomes is at the level he doesn't need preseason. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played preseason in like 10 years.
Well, he doesn't ever play good at the beginning either.
Aaron Rodgers
plays a pretty good first 17
quarterback.
Yeah,
you've ever seen.
No, he doesn't. Look it up.
How many MVPs does that guy have? Like three?
He does, but MVP's not first week. It's a season.
Either way. I agree with Gary.
Nah.
Back to what I was saying, it just proved on Thursday night, national television in front of the world, that Patrick Mahomes cannot win a football game, not win any single football game, but cannot win an important good football game without a top five target in the NFL, if not top, against a Detroit Lions team.
Look what Brady used to do with Target cashiers.
Yeah, exactly. Like
he'd go, they'd go to Sam's Club and grab a cart boy.
Costco.
Like, you're telling me that Kadarius Toney with Tom Brady wouldn't go off for probably 150 and two touchdowns? Like, come on.
All right.
Mahomes' career, he will not win another Super Bowl. That's how his stock went way down after that.
Stop it.
I can't.
My goodness.
I can't drink that Kool-Aid yet, Gary. I'd like to, but I don't
mark
know.
It here. What 45?
Nine, yeah,
minutes into this episode, you know?
8:36, 9/11, 2023. Garrett has just lost his mind.
Yeah, this is which take is worse? Bridgewater's clutch or Patrick Mahomes will not win a Super Bowl.
I will give young Gary the okay because he was young at the time. This Gary right here.
Teddy
Bridgewater. I don't know who this guy is.
I'll say this too. Another stock up. Jordan Love called it. That guy's a baller.
One game.
I mean, he looked good though.
I don't disagree. I hope he does.
Here, Dad, go first because I got like three stock ups I can think of.
I mean,
so.
Stock up for me would be the Rams. I thought the Rams, I mean, I get it. Cup's out. Everybody may be healthy right now. I still don't think Stafford will last all year long, but man, they put it to him. And they put it to him.
Aaron Donald reintroduced himself.
Yes. And they looked good.
Who was that dude that nobody's ever heard of that had like 12 receptions and
that rookie?
Something? That guy was. The Napsters didn't even care. I was like, they don't.
He had like 12 receptions for like 119 yards, like
and a touchdown. I think
he was like, I think the most receptions, like second or third yards, or maybe that was only among rookies. I can't remember, but like,
you're talking about Puka Nacua, I think, from BYU.
Yeah, that dude. Because he kept getting the ball, and I was like,
well, yeah,
I've never heard of this guy. And the announcers were just acting like he's a casual, just casually getting his 12 receptions. I was like, How's nobody else talking about this guy?
Good thing I started him in fantasy. So
I'll say one stock up. I'll say one stock up. I mean, it's kind of I'll say Dallas. They came out there. We already thought they could be pretty good, and they came out and did even better than we expected.
Sure,
another stock up. Colts. I'm not gonna say we're gonna do anything crazy this year, but Anthony Richardson looked good. I'm excited to see the future.
Yeah.
And then, hang on, I had a third stock up that I thought was.
What about Detroit?
That's what it was. Yeah, Detroit stock up. Detroit. Yeah. That was my third Campbell, Detroit, man. Stock, I think, is the best right now. Okay. Look at them. We knew they were coming in. They had a fire lit beneath them from last year. They were coming in ready to play, and then they go beat the defending world champions.
Sure.
And looked good. They could be better too, and I think they will get better. But not even looking like their best football went out there and beat the Chiefs. Granted, the Chiefs stocks down, so hey.
Have you guys seen that?
Wins a win.
Texas beating Alabama.
Have you guys seen that Goff's like a couple passes away or whatever from breaking the longest streak of consecutive passes without a pick?
Really? Good for him.
He's thrown like
good for
or
him.
Maybe it's games or something, but he hasn't thrown a pick since like week 9 of last year.
Well, knock on some wood, because I like Jared Goff. I think he got a raw deal. I mean, obviously.
Paid off for the Rams.
Yeah, I understand.
I think, like you said, he got the short end of that.
It's not going to happen, but imagine that team wins a Super Bowl. That would be like the most even trade in the history of sports.
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah, that city, Detroit, and the Lions, they need a championship.
I'd love to see it for them, honestly.
All right, so tell me this. All right, each of us, each week, we're going to pick a lock of the week, and we're going to pick an upset of the week. So we're going to keep track of it. We'll figure out some points at some point. The upset will probably be worth a little bit more points. You don't get dinged for losing the upset pick. But what are your guys' thoughts right now? I mean, right now, I think the Jets and Cowboys needs to be off the table until we figure out with Aaron Rodgers is what's happening. I mean, I get it.
I mean, you could do it as a lock, but not as an upset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you want to lock it in and potentially Aaron Rodgers plays or doesn't play, that's up to you.
What do you got?
Is it the team? We asked this every single week last year. The team with the plus next to him is the underdog, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. My lock, I think, is going to be Miami.
Really? Over the New England Patriots in New England?
Wow. I mean, look what Miami just did. Like, all they got to do is do something similar to that.
My lock's going to be the Giants over the Cardinals. I think Giants are going to get fed up with last night's performance, and Cardinals are just bad.
I think betting against the Cardinals is a safe bet. They go. I think they play Giants, Dallas, San Francisco the next 3 weeks, and it's like they're in for a rough time.
My lock, Minnesota loses to Philadelphia. Philadelphia wins.
Primetime, Kirk. My upset is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Some things I'd like to say to you off the air, Gary. I just looked down and I thought, ooh, that's going to be bold.
My upset, Pittsburgh will beat Cleveland.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess my upset. I don't really want to do it. I'm just going to do it. Baltimore beat Cincinnati. Kind of surprised that it says.
Man, if they go 0-2. That division.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they've done that the last 2 years too, but.
Yeah, but also this would be a division game. So it's like two division games. But I don't know. I was going to pick Jacksonville, and Gary took that from me. So,
way to go, Gary. That's where
we should do a future rule. Whoever's in last place gets to pick first.
Bingo. So that means Garrett will be picking next week again.
No, he picked Jacksonville. Gary's going to be in first place now.
All right, we'll see. So you never know. But hey, we appreciate everybody listening to our podcast. We know you got a lot going on, and you made us a part of your day, and pretty happy about it. So just Ron, reminder, iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the skulk. Until next time,
goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.